Greetings in Jesus' name. It is good to be in the house of God again. Good to see all the visitors. Appreciate y'all being here. To get together and worship God, I trust that's why we're here this morning. Not just to be here and see what I've got to say, but see what God has to say. And I also appreciated the devotional this morning. Doing something, being active in our spiritual walk of life, in our natural life, working for our spiritual life. What are we doing? And then our Sunday school lesson also very well goes in line with the message today. The question was asked, what is a disciple? A follower of Jesus. Follow Jesus' teachings, an imitator. Then discipline also comes in there. A disciple has to be disciplined to be able to follow. Some of them just left their businesses and followed Jesus. Just walked off and left it. It was sort of brought up, what would we do in that situation now? It's a challenge for us to think about. Which leads me into today, I'd like to talk about self-denial, which is leaving everything and following Jesus. I've been thinking about this quite a bit over the last little while, and we read it here in several of the Gospels, relate this, where Jesus told his disciples to deny, talked about denying ourselves. So what does that really mean? Thinking about that, what does that really mean? If you think about it, what does that mean to you when you think of that verse where Jesus said to, if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself. He said, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself. When you think of that, what do you think of? How do we do that? And today, I am not preaching this as though I have attained it. I'm the perfect example of self-denial. No, that's not it. I'm still working on that, that's for sure. But I'm talking to myself, and I invite y'all to listen in as I talk to myself. We know that Jesus lived a life of total self-denial and humility before God the Father. He gave us the perfect example of how to do that. And he calls us to be like him and to be conformed to his image. Therefore, we are called to deny ourselves and to be humble before our God. So we turn to Matthew chapter 16. And incidentally, especially with Olin's being here, I came across this scripture last Sunday down in Mississippi, and actually this same scripture in Mark, where he says the same. It's the same incident actually, and but I told him it's going to be a little bit different than what it was last Sunday. So, anyway. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all give this same incident, and they give this same command that Jesus gave. So in chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For if a man... what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And I must say, this message today, I can't take credit for all of it, because I've taking a lot of this out of another message by Bobby Stoltz, that I really appreciated it. And so I thought I would share a lot of that with y'all today. But we live in a society today that teaches us that nothing is out of our grasp. That is what society is telling us today. That we should never say we can't have something or deny ourselves of any pleasure or treat. That is, society is telling us that. Don't deny yourself. You deserve it. Go ahead, buy it. We see commercials and advertisements that say that. Just get whatever you want. In fact, I would say that the true denial of self wants or self-preserved needs is one of the most hated things in our society today. I should be able to do whatever I want. Live life to the fullest. Live life with no regrets. That type of thing. However, on the other hand, there are many in this world that are willing to deny themselves anything if it means that they can look better, lose weight, climb higher, achieve position and power. In other words, if it benefits them, it is okay for them to deny themselves of things. However, for the most part, the denial of self is something that we don't talk about too much. We don't want to talk about it, so we sort of avoid it. I'm not sure, is it because we haven't learned how to do self-denial yet? Or I'm not sure. After all, who wants to deny themselves of anything that they can achieve or receive? Why would we want to cheat ourselves out of something? There are many things in this world that we can have or partake of that are not bad things. In fact, they could even be considered good things. But as Christians, we are not here to partake of the good, but we're here to partake of the best. Jesus spoke to his disciples right after he had shared them with them about his identity. We read earlier in this chapter about his mission and destiny, why he was here on this earth. He had confirmed with them that he was the Messiah, and he told them that he was destined to die and that he would be rejected of religious leaders and put to death. But on the third day, he would rise from the dead. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus was saying when he laid out his mission and his destiny. So it's easy for us to understand how they could have missed what he was laying out as their mission and destiny as his followers. That this is what he wants them to be doing. Jesus tells these disciples that their mission and destiny is to deny themselves and to take up their cross daily and to follow him. And the term that they use here is described to follow him is the Greek word akolutheo, which means to follow one who precedes. In other words, what we were talking about, a disciple following the teacher is what a disciple does. Jesus was setting the standard, and they were to follow in his footsteps. But when we look at this passage, we need to understand that Jesus was not simply speaking to his disciples around him on that day. This takes a command given to the 12 apostles and those other disciples that were following him, and spreads the command to any and everyone who accepts Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's for all of us. If you want to follow Jesus, if you desire to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then this is what you're called to do. But as we look at this passage, We want to focus on one particular phrase, which is denying ourselves. Just what is Jesus saying when he tells us to deny ourselves to become one of his disciples? I believe also the scripture is very adamant about what Jesus was teaching here in this verse. But first, let's take a look at what self-denial means to the world around us and how many people, believers even, become confused and misled by the enemy when it comes to this self-denial principle. So self-denial, in denying self for self, for yourself, which is egocentric self-centeredness. In verse 24, here we read that Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's pretty straightforward. Now, when we hear the phrase, deny yourself, what do we think about? What do we think about? Denying ourselves is not something many of us can do very well. Many of you may think this is an America problem. This is like, it's out there. That's the problem. But I believe it hits far closer to each one of us. The University of Purdue did a study in 2006 across multiple Christian and non-Christian denominations that revealed that Baptists are more likely than people in other denominations and other religious groups to be obese. They must have left out as Anabaptists, is all I can figure out. But as Mennonites, we are an affluent and a very comfortable lot, really. We believe far more than we have ever need, and we even desire more. And of course, it shows in our waistline, it shows in other areas of our lives as well. We simply do not deny ourselves of almost anything. If we want something, we go and get it. When it is suggested to have prayer or fasting period, what is the first thing that goes through your mind? Well, I can't do that. I have to eat something with my condition, whatever it might be, my health. I have to eat something. Well, don't you realize that God knows about your condition, whatever it is, and that he could, you know, foresee things? It's just like someone else said, I think it was last Sunday, somebody said down in Mississippi that denying ourselves of things that we can't have is really not denying ourselves. I think he used the scenario of a Learjet. I'd love to have a Learjet, but I'll just deny myself the idea. I don't have the means to buy a Learjet anyway, so denying myself of that is nothing. It means nothing. Denying ourselves comes into something that we could have or maybe even really want, but for the furtherance of our Christian walk of life, our spiritual life, we deny ourselves that. We don't partake of that because we will be better for not partaking of that. That is denying ourselves something. So in the same breath that maybe I can't partake of that, I have to eat something. I know many of us have denied ourselves of many things to get what we want. In other words, have you ever been on a diet? Or tightened your budget to save for a special purchase? Or worked longer hours and more days to get more money? I'm sure all of us have been down one of those roads or a road similar to that. That is also denying ourselves. And although these things may not be evil in themselves, when we place them ahead of our families or in front of our spiritual priorities, we can quickly see that they are not what God intended. They are not what Jesus was speaking about when he said, you must deny yourself. We can quickly jump to doing something that will be considered by the world as denying ourselves when it involves benefit and profit for me. To our self-centered, egotistical human spirit, if it affects me that way, then I can deny myself. In other words, I work hard and I sacrifice for my family. And I believe you when you say that. However, human nature has proven time and time again that when we sacrifice or deny ourselves, it is usually, more than likely, for our benefit first. It's for ourselves. So now, denying self for others, which is egocentric philanthropy. Again, we go back to that verse that Jesus, in verse 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Here we find denial is the first step in becoming a believer. It's the first step to becoming a disciple of Jesus. But the question still begs itself, for whom are we denying ourselves? I believe we have established the fact that many, if not most of us, either refuse to deny ourselves of anything, but if we choose to deny ourselves of something, that it is a strategic decision on our part because we believe that that denial will benefit us in some way. A diet to lose weight or tightening our budget for a new purchase. That, you know, we can do that because it benefits us. But there are many people in the world who are willing to deny themselves also for the sake of others. We see people submit themselves to many things on the behalf of others and to help and benefit others. But ultimately, this comes back to those who are denying themselves and their desire to feel good about themselves, their desire to make a difference in their life. And as calloused as this may seem, many, if not all of us, deny ourselves for others because it either makes us look good or it makes us feel good about ourselves. Again, doing those things for others is not a bad thing. But I want to point out that that is not what Jesus was talking about in this passage of Scripture. Because in verse 25, we go down to verse 25, he says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? In other words, if you deny yourself and gain the attention and admiration of the whole world, but not God, it's all for nothing. There's nothing there. We can do good work after good work. We can volunteer our time until we're blue in the face. We can give ourselves to cause after cause. But if it's not because of Christ, it's not for any eternal significance. There's really no value, no point in it. As Christians, we are called to do good works and doing for others. But this is not what brings us into Christianity. Good works are the result of our Christianity. And good works do not lead us into a discipleship relationship with Jesus Christ. The good works reveal our relationship, our disciple relationship with Jesus Christ. doing things for our friends and sacrificing for family and making great sacrifices for those we do not know are all great things. But they are still not what Jesus was speaking about here in this passage. So what does Jesus mean when he says that we are to deny ourselves? So let's read that one more time. And Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So now we come to denying self for Christ, which is Christocentric, true self-denial. To fully understand what Jesus means here in this passage, I think we need to understand the entire context of this passage and how it relates to this chapter. Jesus had denounced, earlier in this chapter, Jesus had denounced the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees and had taken his disciples aside and asked them the question of, who do the people say that I am? And then he also asked, well, who do you say that I am? And this is where we find Peter's confession of faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Peter had proclaimed that Jesus was the one that they were called to follow, and the one the nation of Israel had been waiting for all of these years, and the one whom God had sent to lead them. Jesus then acknowledges to Peter that his answer was right, but that God had revealed it to him. He didn't come up with that himself. And if they wanted to be true followers of this Messiah, if they wanted to live to be true disciples of the one that God had sent, then they need to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. Jesus was telling these men that he had chosen to mentor and teach that they were to be true followers. They needed to surrender themselves to him. The term used here to deny is the Greek word aparneo, which means to fully lose oneself. Fully lose oneself, fully give oneself to another. It's a term of surrender, and it's a total yielding of one's life to another. Total. Do we understand what total means? There's nothing left. Everything we have. When we deny ourselves to please ourselves, we yield to a certain thing for a season, but that's self-fulfillment. When we deny ourselves to help others, we yield and surrender ourselves or part of ourselves to a cause or specific need for a time. But ultimately, this is also self-fulfillment, to make us look good or to feel good about ourselves. However, when we deny ourselves for Jesus, we give our all, our lives, our everything. We yield ourselves totally and completely to fully surrender our lives to him, not for a season, but for eternity. We cannot serve him when we hold back part of who we are. And I understand this goes against all of what the world tells us, against all of what our inner feelings and desires are. Giving up control and preeminence in our lives is not necessarily an easy thing to do. But Jesus tells us that if we are to be his follower, this is what we must do. We can do it no other way. We can't be a disciple of Christ with a half-hearted effort or commitment. We cannot be his follower if we are not willing to surrender all to him. That is part of the requirements that Jesus set for us. So what does surrender all to Jesus mean? I believe it means every part of your life. Every part. From the minutest detail to the largest situation. From our relationships to our careers to whatever we do every day. All must be focused on first serving Jesus and not pleasing our selfish desires. Now that doesn't mean that we don't do things that we enjoy. If we would just look at it that way, that's why people say sometimes, well, denying yourself, boy, that's a dry life. You can't do anything. No, I think we need to, Jesus wants us to enjoy life. But in our enjoying life, we are bringing honor and glory to him in the things that we do enjoy. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." First. That's the first thing. That should be our focus. Seeking Jesus first in all that we do has become a way of life, a pattern by which we live. We must live first for Jesus. In all we do, in all our actions, we must act first for Jesus. Whatever we are doing or saying, the premise must be that it is first done for Jesus. That means anything that we say, anything that we do, anywhere we go, should in some way bring honor and glory to God. This is the reason that the Apostle Paul uses the greeting, "I, Paul, an apostle and servant of Jesus Christ." Paul understood that he had to surrender all of who he was to Jesus. But to follow Jesus, Paul surrendered all of who he was before he met Christ. In fact, we read in Philippians chapter 3, we read about Paul's credentials, if you will. He says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Although I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." If we could just have that desire. Paul yielded any power, prestige, and position to the presence of Jesus in his life. He had a lot by earthly standards. He had a lot. But he gave that all up to follow Christ, denying self. Paul also urges the Roman believers that this is not only something that he should do, But it was a calling for all believers. In fact, if we read Romans chapter 12, the first two verses in the New Life Translation, he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." It pretty much lays it out pretty plain there. In other words, full and complete surrender of who you are to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Allowing God to transform you into the person he desires for you to be. Do you want to please God? Then this is how you do it. Denying yourself. Turning everything over to him. Jesus says to deny yourself, can you truly say, and to others around you, that you have fully denied, truly denied yourself for Jesus? It's a good question for each one of us. Have we really done that? Have we put Christ first in our lives? I'm sure that you could point out where you have, on occasion, denied yourself for yourself, to benefit yourself. I'm sure all of us could say, well, I've denied myself of this and that and whatever it might be. But if it wasn't for the furtherance of God's kingdom, it really wasn't worth anything. I'm sure you could point out where for a season you have denied yourself for the sake of others, for the benefit of others. But in reality and in your heart, you were seeking to please yourself. Even if that praise only came from within yourself. But this morning, can you truly tell Jesus that you have fully and totally surrendered your heart, soul, body, and mind to him? We are called to yield in submission to Jesus. If we want to follow him, we must lay down who we are and take up who he is. Are you a true follower of Christ this morning? Those are requirements that Jesus has set forth. If we cannot deny ourselves and truly take up our cross and follow him, then I think we can see that we are not where God wants us to be. But what might that have to do with our church as a whole? I believe that a church of believers can only move forward when it is fully surrendered and yielded to Jesus Christ. In all of our actions and missions. So if you are not fully surrendered, you are hindering the fellowship of the church that you're a part of. And you're hindering the growth and ministry of the body of believers. Do we realize the seriousness of that? If a church is not flourishing, if it's not what we call increasing, doesn't mean necessarily in numbers, but in service for God, if the blessing doesn't seem to be with the church, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the problem. Because I have not denied myself like I should have. I have not fully surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Let's each one of us think about that. Are there some Achans among us? If you want to experience true and rich fellowship that only comes from God, then you have to surrender to Him. Let Him control your life. In closing, the first step to knowing and experiencing Christ in your life is the step of denying yourself. We've got to get ourselves out of the way. We can't have self in the way. You cannot know Christ Jesus as Lord without first turning away from the selfish desires of our own heart. Let each one of us take a look at our own lives. Get right with God. Repent of our self-centered actions and thoughts and desires, and submit and surrender to the leading of God in our lives. Because until each one of us is fully submitted and surrendered, we will not be able to serve Him the way He wants us to serve Him. Again, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus in this world today, the first step is going to be, have to be, to deny ourselves, to turn away from ourselves, turn away from our selfish desire and turn to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Facing Him, trusting Him, and surrendering fully to His Lordship in each one of our own lives, each one of us. Yielding all of ourself, our love, our dreams, everything to Him. Are we ready for that today? That's the question for each one of us. There's mention made in our Sunday school lesson about when following Jesus. In other words, if Jesus came walking along and would tell us to follow Him, would we think of, well, what about this stuff back here that needs to be taken care of? If I go do this, then somebody's got to take care of my business, somebody's got to take care of my family, leaving all that and just going on and serving God. I think God will take care of all of that if we just do that. Are we ready to do that? It's the condition of our heart. What are we really here for? Let's each ask ourselves that question. Let us kneel to pray.